So this morning, my topic that I'm preaching on is just simply consecration, the subject of consecration. So as a movement, Elam has entered into a period of consecration on a national level, and it's on a church level, and it's on a individual level. And it began with the Leaders' Summit in May, where we saw the new General Superintendent, who's Mark Pugh, inducted. And consecration for the movement is something that he's got very much on his heart as he leads us through the next 4 years. Now, we've all heard of the term of consecration, but do we know exactly what it means on a personal, individual level? So this morning, I'm going to just share some thoughts on what the term means to us as an individual and what it means in regard to our daily walk with the Lord in our daily lives, in what we do, in our daily interactions as we go about our daily lives. So one of the definitions of consecration is this. Consecration is the act of dedicating something to God. So in this case, that something is ourselves. And in short, it means to intentionally devote ourselves to God in a fresh and conscious act. And this is something that's not just a one-off experience when we became born again, but it's something that we can do regularly, even on a daily basis. And the call to consecration is just really a reminder to attend to our primary calling, our relationship and walk with the Lord, and that will affect everything that we put our hand to. And I'm not implying here that any of you are not already faithfully walking with the Lord and serving the Lord with this attitude of consecration already. But if we're honest, it's easy to get busy and it's easy to get distracted. It's easy not to take time of stock, to take time to take stock, sorry, to reflect and also to be willing to lay everything down, all that we do and all that we have on the altar of our devotion to God. We read in the book of Genesis how Abraham was prepared to lay down his only son Isaac on the altar to God. And that's what consecration is, being prepared to give our all to the Lord and to trust him with it. So my first point this morning is consecration in our daily walk with the Lord. And you don't need me to tell each of you that we should be connecting with the Lord on a daily basis, be it via prayer, Bible reading, worship, or simply just sitting and listening. And Isaiah 50 verse 4b says, "He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned." And when we spend time with the Lord, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Sometimes the Lord will speak to us via a specific scripture. Sometimes he's going to speak to us through the words of a song. Sometimes he'll speak to us through other people. And sometimes there is just a knowing, just that knowing inside, that gut feeling on the inside of us as to what the Lord is telling us to do. And we can go through our day with a sense of being guided by the Holy Spirit. And the important question here is, are you growing in your knowledge and your walk with the Lord on a daily basis? You know, it's a challenging question, isn't it? And it's one we really should be asking ourselves quite regularly. And this particular question is actually one that can only be answered by hearing from the Holy Spirit through your daily quiet times, however they happen. I don't know if any of you were out of bed early enough this morning to see the sunrise from where I was. It was quite spectacular, and it's new every morning. And you know, our expectation on a daily basis that each sunrise will be different. You know, and we expect God to provide that. And so it is really with our daily lives. We can expect as we walk with the Lord, as we're consecrated to Him for our day, to be different. Even though we think it might be going to be mundane, you know, we just need to be open that God wants to do something new. And I know for those of you who work, God already knows that you have a job where you're required to be 7 or 8 hours a day. Hey, Alan. That time is allocated. However, within that time frame, are you open to the idea that the Holy Spirit may want to talk to you in your workplace to do His work as you do your work? And God requires us to be excellent at our work, and He requires us to work hard. John 3:27 says, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him by heaven." So the job that you have been given to do actually has been given to you by heaven. So we've been employed by the Lord to do whatever job that we have. We have not been employed by the Lord to preach the gospel during that time. It's good to remember that. However, if we do get to share a word about our faith, our walk, then that's an added bonus. But really, as Christians, we should be the best workers in our team. We should be the most pleasant. We should be the most positive. We should be the most productive. We should be the most creative, as our ideas about our work come from the Holy Spirit. And these qualities should be a result of us consecrating our work to the Lord. And when we don't take time to be with the Lord, to consecrate our work to the Lord, things like strategy, outcomes, and our own glory override things like obedience and God's glory. There will be a tendency to ask God to bless the plans that we have already decided on. And the focus moves away from the Lord, from what the Lord wants for our lives, to what we think should be in our lives. And we will run out of steam very quickly if we pursue this course of action. But when we allow God's voice to be the loudest, we can turn the volume down on the other voices that would invariably try to draw us away from God's presence and call. So consecration is a deliberate recentering of our lives, our work and our ministries on the purposes and plans of God. And this attitude of consecration will result in a lasting change within us, and that eventually will touch other people. And it begins with that deliberate determination and action to take time to be with the Lord and dedicate your life to the Lord on a regular basis. The second point that I want to talk on is consecration in our daily lives. Now, people in the Old Testament, you can stay there, were anointed or consecrated to the Lord for a particular task. Samson was set apart to God, and the razor was never to touch his head. John the Baptist had a specific job to do. He was to announce the good news of the arrival of the Messiah. He was called not to drink. And Gideon was called to save his countrymen from the Philistines, and he was told to stop hiding in the winepress. And similarly, each one of us are anointed for a particular task. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And these gifts are often called the motivational gifts. They are what floats our boat, what we get excited about. And they'll be different for each person. But I just want to emphasize this point. Consecration is not about what you're anointed or called to do or your motivational gift. Consecration is what you do about your anointing, your calling and your gifting. So I might repeat that. Consecration is what you do about your anointing and your calling and your gifting. So I can be called to be the greatest evangelist in the world, but if I do not consecrate myself to the Lord on a regular basis, will I fulfill the ministry to the extent that the Lord wants to use me in? And I doubt that seriously if I'm not staying close to God. So, what has the Lord specifically told you to do? And more importantly, are you doing it? And like the heroes of the Old Testament, whom I've just mentioned, has the Lord placed what could be seen as a restriction that applies to you specifically when it comes to your calling? If so, are you living within that restriction? Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." It talks about renewing our mind. And when it comes to renewing our minds, we have an example to follow in the Old Testament. It didn't take the Lord long to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. And by this I mean it took 40 years for their minds to be renewed, so they looked to the Lord as the supplier of their needs, the defender of them, their people, and to trust him that he was leading them to a safe place. In other words, to a place where they could fully trust him. So when we got born again, when we gave our lives to Christ, it happened in an instant. But our thought life and our minds, they take a wee while to follow. And so this script talks about whatever, what are you thinking about? You know, and so on a daily basis, what are we thinking about? It will determine how you act. Our consecration to God is made up by minute-by-minute decisions, and these split-second decisions are actually determined by what you're thinking about. Years ago, I was a computer programmer for a sugar factory, actually, in Maryborough, where I was living. I was the computer person. And one day, the boss came to me and asked if I could copy software from a floppy disk that he had acquired so that it could go on the company's computer system. So I had to make a split-second decision about what I was to do. You know, would I copy that software illegally or not? So I just said no and explained that it was because of my Christian values. And it was an easy decision, but only because I was plugged into the Lord every day. And the end result of that decision could have been that I could have lost my job, I guess. However, the boss respected my decision, and that was the end of the matter. But where I was at in my relationship with the Lord meant I was prepared to face any negative consequences of that decision. So consecration is all about submitting and committing all to the Lord. It can be all too easy to trust and obey God to a point, but then hold something back. But keeping the smallest area of disobedience to prevents our yielding completely to His will. It prevents our complete consecration. And here's a biggie. You know, one of these would be our attitude to money and giving. You know, do we view our money as ours, with us giving God back a little bit in various ways, or do we view our money and resources as being completely belonging to God? You know, that's what consecration is all about. There is a direct link between our commitment to consecration and to our generosity. And the Bible is littered with examples of God's people losing their primary focus and getting sidetracked with insignificant matters. In the Old Testament, we only actually have to look as far as Samson and King Saul. What began with so much promise ended in compromise and defeat. And in the New Testament, we have the tragic story of Ananias and Sapphira, people who had come to salvation but then decided to do their own thing. Distraction is insidious, and it comes in many forms. You know, at times of disappointment, we can take our eyes off our calling. At times of fruitfulness, we can get sidetracked by the seduction of success. We all have the propensity to be distracted. And basically, the distractions in the stories I've briefly touched on here can be summed up in this phrase, which I heard someone preach on, that is can be the ruination of people in their Christian walk. And this phrase is simply, the girls, the gold, and the glory. Consecration will help us to see these distractions when they come along. Now, consecration calls us to remember and concentrate on our walk with the Lord, our vision and our calling as we go about our daily lives. The third point is consecration in our daily interactions. Scripture reminds us that we are in the world but not of the world. And this means whilst we've been placed here on earth to live our lives, we're meant to be different. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 9, God calls us a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So this means that we should stand out in the crowd by our words and our actions. But it can be hard to do this because a lot of what we do to make us feel accepted by the people that we mix with. And that's not necessarily a good thing. In the Old Testament, God told the Hebrews not to intermarry with other tribes. He knew that eventually the Hebrews would be drawn away from their walk with Him in order to follow the rites and religions of other gods. And similarly, we need to be careful about the company we keep. You know, consecration will help us to know who is good for us. It'll also help us to know who is not good for us. And we're all at different stages of our walk with Christ, so what may be forbidden for you may not necessarily be so for another believer. Christ is changing us from the inside out, and He's changing us from glory to glory, and the Lord knows what He needs to work on in each of our lives. So we need to concentrate on what is going on in our lives, not someone else's life. So what I'm saying here is that the outward manifestation of consecration for one person can look completely different to the outward manifestation of consecration for another person. I referred earlier to minute by minute and decision by decision daily walk with the Lord. Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32, Jesus told his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it is grown, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches." God's kingdom comes through small mustard seed actions of consecrated lives. Everyday, ordinary decisions of obedience, faithfulness, compassion, grace, love and truth are the things which enables God to be seen by the people around us, with whom we interact with in our daily lives. We plant seeds for the kingdom when we walk in humble obedience and faithfulness and choose to do what we know the Lord is telling us to do. A kind word can transform situations. One time when Sandra and I were flying back from Australia, we arrived at Brisbane Airport about 6 o'clock in the morning, and we got to the reception, and the lady at the reception was not a happy lady. Now, I'm thinking of, I don't know if you've seen the movie You've Got Mail, where Meg Ryan tries to present cash to her. The girl's only got a credit card and she's not happy, and Tom Hanks works his magic. So this lady was unhappy. But my twin brother was with me, and he just leaned out, he said, "What time did you start work?" And then, "I bet you you've not had breakfast." Well, within seconds, this woman was laughing and smiling and chatting away. You know, someone had acknowledged her world. Someone had acknowledged where she was at. And we can be that person in the same vein, you know, wishing someone a nice day, saying thank you. It's all bringing love, the love and light of God, to that person, showing them that they are appreciated. Mark chapter 12 and verses 30 and 31 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And that speaks of consecration. However, it does continue. And the second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And this last second part is very significant, and we need to heed these words. You know, and I say this because many of the saddest issues in church life result from people falling out with each other. You know, we don't esteem each other's greater than ourselves. You know, and in every walk of life, there's going to be differences of preference, style, and vision. But how we honour one another during such times is an indication of our consecration to Christ. If we honour one another, we honour God. And this verse does not only apply to our church, but also it applies to everyone around us. How do we treat other people? Are we allowing the Lord to work in our lives on things like unforgiveness? You know, I had to battle recently an area of unforgiveness. When I say recently, a few years ago, where I wasn't invited to a wedding where I thought I should have been invited. But you have to be prepared to work through these things. And Christ tells us to forgive others because we've been forgiven by him. And if we hang on to unforgiveness, the only person that you're hurting is yourself. Very often, you will be the one tied up in knots over past hurts, but the person who is the object of your unforgiveness is sailing through life hassle-free. You know, having such turmoil on the inside of us will limit our effectiveness in doing what the Lord wants us to do. You know, and also when we're dealing with other people, we need to understand the significance of why we do things. You know, and consecration helps us to evaluate our motives. Are we motivated by genuine love and desire to help people, or is it really a front for us to look good? Or do we feel obliged or under pressure or under sufferance to act in a certain way? Are we forcing ourselves and our message on other people? Are we waiting to be invited into their lives? It's a privilege to be able to speak into someone's life, but you must be invited to. Now, I had a couple of examples here from my work. When Sandra and I ran our healing meeting several years ago, I worked for a boss whose wife is suffering from MS. Now, I didn't know this man very well. He was just my boss. But I chose to send him an email telling him about our healing meeting. I didn't know where he was spiritually. And I'd only heard from other people that his wife was suffering from MS. In other words, I wasn't even in relationship with the guy at all. And needless to say, there was never any response to the email. We certainly never saw him and his wife at our meeting. And, you know, it made me question, what was my motivation in asking him? Did I just feel guilty and approach him because we ran the healing meeting and we could help? You know, genuine feelings, but wrong motivation. And on the other hand, a few months later, I had a lady in my team who began to warn me that she had serious pain issues and that possibly her work might be affected or might not be up to scratch or that she might be missing deadlines. And because she had shared the details of her illness with me, I was able to tell her about her healing meetings. And yep, she came along. Yep, she got prayer. And the next afternoon, which was a Sunday, I got a phone call from her saying she was pain-free for the first time in years. And that was because my motivation was simply compassion responding to her needs. She had opened up her life to me and I was able to speak to her in a point of need. So we really should be only doing things out of a motivation of love and compassion as Jesus did, not out of any sense of guilt or obligation. And consecration will help this. It'll help us, the why of our actions always point to our ego. You know, we all have a tendency to paint ourselves in a good light. We exaggerate our statistics. We pretend we are the hero of the story. And it's not a good place to be in. But consecration will help to keep us honest. It'll keep us humble. It will keep us with the reality that we're all dependent on the Lord for our well-being and provision. And really, that's quite freeing. You know, we can celebrate other people's victories, other people's successes, without feeling jealous or resentful. So what am I saying in conclusion? What I'm saying is this. The moment that we asked Jesus to forgive our sins and to be the Lord of our life, we became sanctified and justified. This is the work of the Holy Spirit who does this in our heart and our lives. And God looks at us and sees what the sacrifice is that Jesus made for us, just as if we'd never sinned. So we enter a place of complete acceptance by God and we're going to heaven. Now, consecration does not replace what Jesus did for us on the cross, but it is a reminder to ourselves that we've been bought with a price. You know, Jesus has come to give life and life more abundantly. So as we consecrate ourselves, as we give our all to the Lord, we enable ourselves to enter into a deeper relationship with the Lord and our lives will become abundant. Consecration does not make us holy. Our acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Saviour has already made us holy. But consecration will aid us to live holy lives, lives that are pleasing to God. Now, consecration is often portrayed as hard, joyless and legalistic type of command. You know, let's clothe ourselves in sackcloth and cover ourselves in ashes and confess what miserable worms we are. But nothing could be further from the truth. God's call to consecration is a command to experience joy, abundance, freedom, life and satisfaction and in ministry, in the circle of people that we move in. And it's all because we choose to devote ourselves. We choose to give our all to the Lord. But we do have an enemy who is always against us making progress in our Christian walk. And he has convinced many that consecration is a pathway to drudgery and obligation. So the temptation would be to discard it. But don't fall for that. The call to consecration is a call to liberty and life. Consecration should change us. It should change us both on the inside and also what we do on the outside. You know, and as we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, we should expect to see a greater hunger on our inside for the things of God, His Word, the Holy Spirit, a willingness to step out of the boat and walk on water. We should expect to see new victory in our lives. So this morning, as we finish, I'd just like to say a quick prayer for us all. So if any of this message has spoken to you, I'd just like to invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray a quick prayer, and I'm also praying this prayer for myself as well. Father, I want to pray for everyone here, Lord, and I thank you, Father, that we know that you love us. We know that you're a good God. We know that you want the very best for us, but we also know, Lord, that we need to cooperate with you, Father. Father, that you can only work in our lives as we cooperate with you. So, Father, I just want to give ourselves, Father, to you. Father, we give you our families. We give you our homes. We give you our work, our studies, Father. We give you our interests and hobbies. We give you our friendships. We give you our bank accounts, Father, because we want to be used by you, Father. We want to be set free from everything that would hinder us. And we know that can only come as we consecrate ourselves and all that we are, all that we have to you. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.